This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. It's a great company for your website or blog and very affordable, just $6.95 per month. And what I love most about it is that setting up a blog is really easy. It's just one click of a button. So even if you're not technical, you can still have your full-fledged WordPress blog. Go to sqpn.com/Bluehost for more information or to sign up. And by the Amazon store, click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show. And finally, this episode is also brought to you by, well, the book that I've been writing, Geek Priest. Just go to the Amazon store through the link and search for Geek Priest. If you like this show, you actually might like that one as well.
What are you doing? Are you trying to start a war with Pan?
Pan started the war when he kidnapped my son.
But that doesn't make you our enemy.
Don't you get it? I'm here because I don't want to go home. None of us do.
Pan's a monster. Look what he did to you.
Oh, Pan didn't do that. Henry did.
Henry has turned to the dark side. Welcome back to a new episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. I'm back from last week's hiatus. I'm really glad to be back. But kudos to Inge and who else was on last episode?
Lisa and Shelley.
Excellent. Well, you did a great job, and I haven't listened to the episode yet, but I was really glad that you were holding down the fort. Also joining us today, David Handlos. Welcome back.
Hey, Father.
How's it? How's life being a daddy?
Life is busy, and I don't know how we ever had that much. I don't remember having this much energy at that age.
Well. Oh, it's kids, you know, they can either be extremely energetic or, well, they can be sick, which is the case with you, Lisa, right?
Yeah. Right. My youngest is homesick with me today.
Aw.
Oh, well. It is kind of sweet to have her here.
Watching Netflix.
Yes.
Well, we are going to talk about episode 5, right? Of the third season.
Yes.
I don't even know what the title of this episode is.
Good form.
Good form. Okay, well that makes sense because that's what Hook talks about quite a bit in this episode. And well, let's ask the question we've been asking in every episode, and that is, how would you rate this episode? David, let me start with you.
I'm hovering between a 7 and an 8. It was pretty good, but there were a couple of points where I'm like, did they really need to hold, you know, did they really need to go there?
Oh, which one do you mean?
Trying to think of exactly what, like, they keep going back to making the Rumpel or Hook or somebody, like, you know, okay, now they're gonna have to hold a secret for, you know, or not tell the truth for sometimes no reason at all, or
okay, so they're kind of using the same narrative trick a little bit too much.
Just dramatic, okay, and dramatic Hook again. I'm like, oh, all right.
I see what you mean. Oh, well, we have to introduce a little bit of tension in the episode.
True.
It must be difficult to write for an entire season like that and have to come up every time with, you know, new ways to hold people's attention. And then, of course, you have the advertisements, which means that you need to set up a little story arc every 10 minutes. Now that I'm watching this on Hulu, I start to realize how much people are suffering when they're watching American TV. It's like every 10 minutes there's a new ad, and it's not really the ads that I want to see either. You know, I don't care about magical makeup. I don't need it.
You're lucky it's only 10, Father.
Oh, it's incredible. But at least I know now that there are ways to, what is it, elongate your eyelashes? I didn't even know that was technically possible. And you have to watch it. I mean, you can't skip it. It's like this magic that is used. What is it? The ink of the squid that they're using. So you're immobilized, and you have to watch that ad, and you can't do anything else. And I don't care about long eyelashes.
I found it, but a guy line is all the latest rate in Neverland.
Apparently, but I'm not a pirate either. I'm paying for my content. Lisa, how would you rate this episode?
I'll give it a good 8. I liked hearing more about Hook. I mean, he's always been one of those for me that's on the bubble. You don't know if he's a good guy, bad guy. He's kind of in the middle. And this made me like him more. I think he's going to be more of a hero figure than we originally thought.
Excellent. What about you, Inge?
Yeah, I liked it very much because I liked the new tensions they bring up. So you see David being really mean to Hook. And also, you're just a pirate. Just so the whole prejudice thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how Hook, we now find out how Hook became a pirate. And I like that story, the reason why he became a pirate. I like that story a lot. So I gave it also a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. I'm even a bit more generous. I would give it like an 8.5. I thought it was the best episode since the beginning of this third season. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought the storytelling was really great. It really reminded me of the best episodes in this entire TV series, where you discover the flashback really makes you discover a whole different side of a person, which is what made Lost such compelling viewing, because you would have a certain idea of someone and then you would see the background and how someone became who he turned out to be. And it makes you appreciate the person more, and I think they did a great job with Hook. It also surprised me. I didn't expect this backstory, but it made sense, and it worked. And it not only shed light on his actions in this particular episode, but on his whole character and the way he's been behaving. And yet there is still more that I want to know, and there are some pieces of the puzzle. Things that happened to him in the past, you know, how did he get, how did he start drinking, etc. So it also creates tension for the future. I want to know more about what happened. And so to me, those are elements that make this a great episode. And well, perhaps I might even give it a 9. Why not? Since we're being generous. All right. Well, let's talk about the beginning of this episode. We see that Henry is being taunted by one of the Lost boys. They might be jealous of him, or it's the kind of things that kids do, I guess. Are you supposed to be this wonderful guy? Oh, well. are you really the Messiah? Well, show it by... But he falls for it, which shows us that he is slowly breaking down, getting influenced by this overall sense of hopelessness. And he is using his belief to do evil for the first time. At least while he turns his stick into a sword and hurts the boy. Which I guess is just one of those transition moments where you can tell that, ooh, evil is starting to creep into his soul. What did you think of this moment? Was it believable? Not everyone at once.
For me, I kind of saw it coming that he can do everything with his imagination, but that the way he apologizes, oh, I didn't mean to hurt you, and then Peter Pan says, well, there's no apologizing for what you do. You can do what you want, and then he goes with it, and that was a little bit too easy for me because that's not how Henry is.
They seem to imply that. And of course, this is kind of linked to the whole idea of Neverland. The fact that these kids are there without parents, they are there without boundaries. So it's freedom, but it's uncontrolled freedom. And nobody will say no to you, which is the role of parents. And it seems to imply that freedom without laws, without rules, without let's say parents, or I don't know what, a police force that enforces these rules, gets out of control and can corrupt is that something as parents? Well, David is just a new parent, but Lisa, is that something you see with your kids as well? If the parents are gone, that they turn to evil. Now, of course, I know that you're a very holy family, but.
No, kids, yeah, kids need boundaries because otherwise they test them and that's why they're kids. Yeah, they'll do what they can. I think that what's going on the island is very normal, and I think it's not good. And seeing Henry, he understands that there are rules in real life and he doesn't want to break them. So it was nice to see him stop and kind of question it for a minute that he's not totally lost to the Lost Boys at that point.
This episode,
I mean, he is a kid and he's young and he's been kidnapped and he's angry and he's tired. So,
yeah,
it's not completely unexpected.
The whole episode seems to be about the importance of children to be connected to their parents, or at least know that their parents are around, which was the big thing that needed to happen. That somehow Henry needed to. Get hope again by knowing that his mother is looking for him. And I thought it was interesting, an interesting twist. I didn't see this in the previous episodes, the role of, and again, it's just another aspect of the whole family theme that dominates this series. But I like it. It's important. What we also learn is that Neil, apparently, when he was on the island, lost hope. He had been counting the days that he was on the island, and then he stopped counting. And according to Emma, that was because he lost hope. And so Henry might also suffer the same fate if he's not reunited with his parents or with Emma. Well, it's all kind of interlinked. You need the safety of your parents to give you hope. Children cannot live without their parents, but also parents cannot live without their children, which is something, of course, that we see in Rumpel. Hook, there's this kind of awkward moment where Hook is trying to bond with Emma. And then... guess who jumps in and tries to prevent that? Well, Emma's father, Prince Charming, I thought it was brilliant. He's like, you're not gonna hook up with my daughter. you're not good. You're not good enough. You're nothing but a pirate. I mean, this is probably, David, something that you will experience. 16 years from now?
Yeah. I'd be, if this wasn't Neverland, he'd probably have a shotgun and try to chase him off his porch or something. Like, I know just how he feels. Okay. All right. I think I'll be there soon.
But I love this protective role of Prince Charming. You know, he tries to protect Emma because, of course, he doesn't know much about Hook except for that he's a pirate. And I love this. And this is what they promise us with this third season. We will get to know the true identity of all these characters. And, well, we go back in time, and lo and behold, Hook was not a pirate. He was actually a very honorable gentleman working with his brother on a ship. And his older... I think it was his older brother, right? So he is a lieutenant, and his older brother, who's called...
Liam.
Liam, yep.
Is working for the king, and apparently, well, the both of them are just very loyal to the king, and they don't want their the other people on the ship to drink because that's not honorable.
It's not good form.
That's not good form. Yeah, it's bad form. And so they both seem to be very upright people trying to do the right thing. His brother is called Liam. We learn that Hook is called Killian. Now, of course, did we learn that before, or was that new in this episode as well?
That's been covered, but it's not like they mention it much because everyone knows him as Hook.
Yeah, I missed it, and I also wonder if it is something that is part of the Disney canon as well, if or in the original story. So I did some research on the meaning of those names. They're both Irish names. Liam comes from William, and it means strong-willed warrior, which I guess that is what Hook is right now. He's in his past, he was strong-willed. He was ready to fight for the good cause. Whereas Killian apparently means bright-headed, although there are also some explanations that say it means the Church of John, and Leon being a Celtic version of the name John. But I like bright-headed as well. It talks more about a certain character. And, well, Killian seems to be quite bright-headed, and later on even becomes more even brighter headeder because he discovers the truth about the king, what the king is doing. Killian is also the name of a saint. It was an Irish missionary. We're talking the end of the 7th century. So, you know, an Irish missionary that actually went on a boat to travel and to evangelize. So I guess it's a good name for Hook's brother.
Yeah, and the actor who plays Hook is an Irish. It comes from Ireland as well, so that's funny.
Oh, really?
I was wondering because Killian. Well, don't know if it's intentional, but Killian is an Irish. There's Killian's Irish Red Ale. It's a type of beer. So.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. So there's an alcoholic reference as well there. But there's not much alcohol in this episode yet. But that seems to be at the, you know, somewhere in the future for Liam. Let's see. There is this strange object. So apparently, we're looking at the past, but there is already magic in that past. So I'm not sure if this is taking place in our world, in our reality, or whether this is in a separate fantasy world. But there is this magical sextant, which is an instrument that you can use to point at the stars and use to navigate. But apparently, according to Liam, this will bring them to a destination beyond, you know, any normal destinations. He doesn't explain how he got it, though, where it comes from. Any theories about that?
I was a little bit puzzled about also about the realm they are in, because they use gunpowder, and we know from Fairytaleland, so the Enchanted Forest, that they don't use gunpowder, so it must be a separate realm. So I was also wondering who's the king. Maybe it's the, because he looks the clothing, it's like British Navy. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of thinking they are here in our realm, and they are just British because they have a kind of a British accent. Mm. And I have no idea where that.
Having Irish names, that could be kind of an indication that they will split off in the future. That something is bound to go wrong. I was thinking perhaps this just takes place in the realm of the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's just that world that is very close to ours, but it's still a little bit of a fantasy world.
Could also be, yeah.
And their family name is Jones. And that immediately made me think of Davy Jones. So it was like, is there going to be like a third Jones brother who's going to turn out to be Davy Jones? I don't know.
Or their father or something like that.
Oh, that would be cool.
Much better than the Jonas Brothers.
Oh. So we get these two quests. One quest to find this strange unknown destination, which we learn later on is Neverland. And there is this quest of Emma and the rest of the family to find Henry. And I've got our first sound clip concerning that. Second quest.
What would you like to yell at me about now, Dave?
Stay away from my daughter.
Well, she can take care of herself. She doesn't need your parenting, which is a good thing.
What does that mean?
It means you're gonna die in a day or so anyway.
There's nothing I can do about that, but if I do die...
When?
It'll be in helping my family. And that's something someone like you can't understand.
What if I told you there's a way to save you?
I'd say no. Because anything that takes us off course of saving Henry is selfish. But of course you would think that was the way to go.
Bugger off. Well, you think I'm being selfish? I'm risking my life for all of you. Every moment I'm here aligned against him.
Please, you're not here out of any nobility. You're here for Emma.
I like this. What about you? I thought it was a great conversation.
Yeah, I was a little bit turned aback by how not nice David is. Is this the dream shade acting up? Or is he just... Because I don't know him like this. Because he's kind of... Oh, you're just a pirate. And so he's just downright mean to... And bad-spirited.
I think he's being protective of Emma and in a way also of Henry. He's like, you know what? Forget about it. You're not really trying to help us. You're just trying to hook up with Emma, and you're a pirate.
I actually thought the same thing as Inga. In the show we've seen Hook play both sides. You know, he's mm-hmm. not a villain, but he hasn't been a good guy. He's just been kind of out for himself or whatever. And I also thought that David was a little harsh. I was surprised. I mean, he's there. You know, Rumpel took off, and the five of them have been working together this whole time. So I was a little surprised that he was so rude. It's not like he dumped them on the island and went, I got off once before, see ya. You know?
Well,
right. But she could have tried, or at least he could have dumped them.
But isn't it because he knows that he's going to die and his time is running out? So he's getting desperate. You know what? You're only a distraction here. I have no time for your romantic endeavors towards Emma. We need to save Henry, and I'm running out of time. So I guess it's just a pressure that causes him to act like that. And perhaps it's something he's been repressing for a long time, and he didn't like Hook for a long time, and it's now coming out. So, I don't know. So according to Deborah, who's joining us in the chat room, there doesn't seem to be a live stream. That's weird. I'm actually streaming it, but at least I thought I was. All right, so where is... I might actually be using the wrong channel. Let me try it again. No, I'm using I'm doing SQPN live. So I don't know. I'll try to restart this thing. Is Deborah able to join us, or is she still busy, Inge? Hello?
I think she is. She's waiting to. She can press a button to join us, but she's kind of waiting out.
Okay.
There she is.
All right. Because I've got a question for her. I want to know more about the way that they portray Hook. Deborah, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you talking about me?
Yes. I'm so surprised that there is no live stream, because I was definitely streaming. For some reason, it Ustream is failing, I suppose. I'll try to reboot it again. I was wondering, we were talking about the way that we learn about Hook and about his past. Is there anything in the Disney realm that is compatible with this storytelling? Is this something of the Pirates of the Caribbean universe? Is it something that we see in Peter Pan? What did you think of the way that he was portrayed?
Well, that's the thing with Pirates of the Caribbean, or not Pirates of the Caribbean, but Peter Pan, is there is no backstory for Hook in the Disney version.
Oh, okay.
Whether that is in the novel, the original novel, maybe. But I'd have to do a little more research for that, obviously. So I thought they had a really honest-to-goodness blank slate with him. And in a way, I bought it. In a way, I didn't. I'll be honest.
Okay.
And I loved the backstory. I loved the pirate ship, and I was like, oh, that's cool how they, you know, made it fly and blah blah blah. Except the CGI was really not very good. But
actually, I thought it was a lot better than in the previous two episodes. I was like, oh, finally we get some good CGI. But okay.
Wow, I thought you were
always someone complaining about the CGI.
I'm in a very generous mood, I guess.
But the thing I didn't buy was his instantaneous I'm going to be a pirate now switch, and yeah. and how easy it was in the 2 minutes of time that they took in the storyline to persuade everybody else to be a pirate.
Okay, well, we can debate that. We can discuss about that. We're not there yet, but I yeah. actually thought that was a great moment. Let me ask you real quickly, Deborah, how would you rate this episode in general?
I would give this like a 7. I thought it was good. Wasn't the best episode I've seen so far, but you know what I liked about this? I was thinking on my way back to my house. What I really liked is that for a long time, I didn't feel like there were as many questions as the first season. Like at the first season, at the end of each episode, you would have like, well, what about this? And what about that? And, you know, who is this? And, yeah. and in this episode, at least I had at least two or three of those questions. Like, well, who else is there? And mm-hmm. what's this? And yeah. Yep. So I felt there were more unanswered questions, which is awesome.
Yes. It makes us more interested in knowing what comes next. Well, let's talk about something unexpected, which I thought was pretty cool, and even the CGI kind of convinced me, which is the mysterious magical sail that they are using to get to Neverland.
What is that? That is a sail woven from the last remaining feathers of the great creature Pegasus. Imagine how that horse could fly.
Indeed, so could we. Hang on! Set a course, Lieutenant. Second saw to the right, straight on till morning.
So they don't need any fairy dust to fly, but instead they have made a sail out of the feathers of the Pegasus. And I'm so glad that they even explained that that is a mythological creature in case you don't have access to Wikipedia. They will tell it to you in the series. Well, Pegasus, I have access to the Wikipedia page. It's actually right here on my iPad in front of me. Pegasus, ancient Greek, Pegasos, was one of the best-known mythological creatures in Greek mythology. He is a winged divine stallion. I'm not talking about the boxing character in Rocky. Usually depicted as pure white in color, he was sired by Poseidon in his role as horse god and foaled by the Gorgon Medusa. He was the brother of Chrysaor, born at a single birthing when his mother was decapitated by Perseus. There's a lot of violence in those ancient myths. Greco-Roman poets write about his ascent to heaven after his birth and his obeisance to Zeus, king of the gods, who instructed him to bring lightning and thunder from Olympus, etc., 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 etc. So, it's a stallion, a winged stallion. He had pretty big wings, but to make an entire sail out of those, I hope those feathers grow back. Otherwise, I'm pitying this poor horse because, and I wonder, how do you make a sail out of feathers anyway?
With CGI.
Oh, with CGI. Yeah. Of course, I forgot about that.
I totally thought of Inga when I saw that because I knew Inga would. No. And it was more like, oh, I bet Inga's up on this stuff, and I won't have to worry about researching it.
Inga, well, what
I
about
saw,
the mythology?
I saw the Pegasus reference. It was like, oh, isn't that Columbia Pictures, the same horse?
It is. So, yeah. Well, or is it? Is that? Isn't that? Yeah, that's Pegasus, right?
Yeah, the TriStar Pictures or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see Hercules.
Hercules. Oh, actually, this might be a way for them to bring in Hercules. That's a good point. Although they burnt the sail at the end of the episode, so.
It went up fairly easily, too. I was a little concerned.
What's it? Can you set fire to the mast on your ship? Really?
Yeah.
It's a wooden ship.
It's just very, very interesting that only the sail when it burns out the ropes. It stopped right at the...
Come on, guys. We're talking fairy tales.
It's magical.
Overanalyzing. It's a story. It doesn't have to be logical. Oh, gosh. I watched, Gravity the other day, which is this great film about, it takes place in space. And then I was raving about it on Facebook. And then someone else was like, oh, but that movie was so scientifically incorrect. And this happened and it can't be. And tears in space don't look like that. Look at this video of what really happens on a space station. I was like, come on, it's a story. I loved it. And now it's overanalyzed and just keep science out of this. well. But so they sail away. But it's the second magical element that is used in this flashback. Deborah, we were talking about, you know, is this taking place in our realm, in our world, or is this some separate universe? Or
I think it's a separate. It has to be a separate universe. I think it is. It was King Midas was the one that was.
Could he be the king?
It could, because I'm like, well, how many tyrannical kings are there out there?
Oh, you're right. Actually, that's a pretty good point.
Because Midas is the story of Midas is also Greek mythology, so maybe there's the whole Greek mythology is a separate realm.
Hmm. But that was part of the fairy tale world, right?
Right. I mean, yes. Right.
We've seen Midas, yes. But well, you're right.
Kinda,
actually,
they kind of seem to sail
king.
Around. I mean, later on when he is a pirate, they just kind of seem to sail around into Rumple's world or wherever. So it's like they all wherever they are kind of all blurs together because you know they're
it's true.
Like Agrabah is connected to the same realm that the Enchanted Forest is in because the genie floated in the bottle through. You know, he just floated in the bottle until he landed there. I think right.
I guess one thing is for certain, and that it is all taking place in the realm of Disney, which ties everything together in one big franchise.
Yeah.
So did you also notice that on the sextant there was also the picture of Pegasus?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So maybe the sail and the sextant come from the same source.
I don't know. We'll see.
Knowing them, they're setting up a reason for us to go explore that.
I think we could be going to Mount Olympus. It could be
Season
Hercules.
Four.
It would be really cool if we learned where these things came from. I hope they're not just leaving it there just for us to accept. But I would like to see a backstory of this. Although I doubt it because, you know, the story of Killian has been told now. I don't think there's much more to him. Or do you think we get to see him more? Because this was a guest role, I think, of the actor.
Well, I think that if they decide to go back and tell us the story of Pegasus and kind of bring back that world, I think they'll do it. I mean, I think they'll bring him back. It just might be not right away. You know, one of those later down the road kind of things, if they can get the actor. Because why bring it up if you're not going to have the possibility to tell us more later?
Well, that's true. So we have the unexplored identity or the provenance of these... of the sail and the sextant, and we don't really know who the king is. But King Midas might actually be a very good guess. Let's get back to Neverland. We learn that Hook's brother lost a duel with Peter Pan. That's kind of that's what Hook tells Charming, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
But the sextant is still there. Yeah, it's not true because he lost. I think it was basically the king who caused all this misery because, well, we'll get to that. But so Hook is lying to Prince Charming, and we learn later on that it is actually because it's the only way to save him because Charming would never go with him to save his own life because he's too much focused on trying to save Henry. Let's see, what else have we got? We see the attack on the ship. That's the moment where they fly away. I like that Killian told Liam, Hook, have faith, my brother.
Around.
Oh, is it the other way around?
Is brother and Hook.
Oh, jeez. There we go again with those names. Well, but anyway. Hook's brother tells Hook, have faith, my brother, which again is just this overarching theme of having faith, not losing hope. And then they sail away. And then back in Neverland, they all decide that Henry needs a sign that Emma is still looking for him so that he doesn't lose hope, doesn't turn to the dark side. And so they capture this lost boy, offer him an Apollo bar, which is the chocolate brand that is used on the island of Lost. Yeah. How appropriate. But the boy doesn't want to help, and so Regina is like, okay, this is taking too much time. Let me take this heart and just use him as a puppet. Yeah. Which upsets Emma and her mother, Snow White, very, very much. Yeah, Snow is very, very upset. I guess because she's again sensing that this might actually turn all of them to evil. It's like
it's a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's actually
psychology, it was it called the foot in the door technique.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I was very, very surprised that Emma just restrained Snow and just tells Regina to do it. It was like not only Henry is taking steps to the dark side, but also Emma.
Well, the two
it
of them are
separated. It didn't surprise me that much because in the first season, you know, Emma was all, I mean, as a bounty hunter, was do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do it. So I thought this was kind of more in line with her personality versus like a goody two shoes. Oh, no, we can't, you know.
What surprised me, it didn't surprise me with Emma or Regina. What surprised me is that Snow, I mean, we've seen Snow in action. She is, she's about one level below Xena as far as butt kicking level. if she really, really wanted to, she could have, you know, turned Emma into a pretzel and thrown her aside. So, but maybe she was just too distraught. I don't know. I was just kind of like, you can kick her butt. Come on. That was just me yelling at the TV.
I think that Snow White is so distressed because she has experienced herself what evil can do to your soul. I mean, she almost lost her soul. And so she knows that this foot in the door can lead to much greater evil. And that's what she tries to warn Emma for. It's like, let's try to, you know, let's not make this worse. And she's like, I hope that you will. I forgot how she formulates it, but she hopes that Emma will not continue to use evil to accomplish her goals, which I think is a very morally high, very valuable thing. The means never. The goal never justifies the means, and you can never use evil to accomplish something good. That is a very important principle immorality.
I also was wondering, is this a payoff of the constant pleading of Regina to use magic? Because in every single episode until this point, Regina was like, yeah, let's solve this problem with magic every time. Mm-hmm. And every time both Emma and Snow said, no, we cannot do that because we're on the island and we have to walk and that kind of stuff. And this is the first time that Emma gives in this plea. So kind of the door is open now for Regina.
Mm-hmm.
She was always kind of trailing behind and put at the side. But now she's more taking a central role in a rescue attempt of Henry.
And it causes a rift between, or a potential rift between Emma and Snow, which is probably for her another good thing. she likes to hurt relationships. It's what she does best. But she definitely seems to have found her. Her mojo there with the heart in her hand and trying to crush it and everything. Then we see, oh, this is another great scene that I loved between Hook and Prince Charming. They discover that they actually have more in common than they thought because both have lost their brother. And I love the bantering back and forth. Oh, you'd actually like my brother because it was just like you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was, I don't know, why was David all so surprised? You had a brother? I mean, most people have a family of some sort, just because he's a pirate. I don't know. Again, I guess I had problems with David in this episode. It just seems so really? Why? I mean, he's a person. Everyone got to where they are somehow. So to me, it wasn't shocking that he had a family and something happened to it. And I mean, it's kind of the story of everybody on the show. So again, I was frustrated with David.
I mean, really? It just shows that David is flawed too. And instead of seeing Hook as a person, he defines him by his role. You're a pirate, and that's all you are. So I think the concept of family doesn't even enter his mind. It's like, it's a pirate. Pirates are solo people. They don't have family. They don't care about anyone. They just care about themselves. And he's unable to see that there's more to Hook, which, might be a little bit contrived and not really in line with what the way David has been acting. Yeah, for the story, for me, it works, because it makes us think about our own judgment about in this case, Hook as a pirate, and we too have to learn that there's more to this guy, and he actually had a family, and that is actually what drives him, what motivates him. It's this, because he lost his brother. That's why now he tries to save David, and David will have to discover that. So we flash back to the two brothers. They need to gather this poison, the branches, you know, the very dangerous ones. And Hook didn't know that the king sent them to Neverland to get that poison. And he starts to understand that this is all part of a big scheme to acquire this poison and use it as a weapon of mass destruction, because it's much easier to use poison and kill everyone than to use soldiers. So Hook is starting to doubt the motives of the king, whereas his brother seems to still have trust in the king so much that he poisons himself. He's like, you know what? This can't be poisonous. Here you go. You see, I'm fine. And then 2 seconds later, of course, it's kind of a staple. It's like, oh, actually, dude, I shouldn't have done that.
Well, he keeled over much quicker than, you know, the prince is keeling over. So
it might have been a deeper cut, maybe.
Yeah.
He cut himself very deliberately.
Oh, that's true.
So we go back to back and forth between them and then Regina, who has the heart of this lost boy in her hands, and now gives him a mirror and apparently sends him on a mission to establish a FaceTime connection with Henry or Skype, whatever you want. But that's kind of cool to see that and they use it exactly like we use our phones right now, our mobile phones. They're all grouped together like they're creating a selfie, and there's like, hey, it's the three of us trying to cram into this small window. Can you see us? How's the Wi-Fi reception at your end? And Henry's, I can see you guys. Cool. And then he throws away the mirror when Pan is arriving, and it breaks just as easily as the screen of an iPhone. So might be some hidden Apple advertisement in here. We then go back to the story of the two brothers, and we learn that there is actually a cure for this poison, and it is this spring on top of the mountain. Now, what was this mountain called? I didn't hear the name.
Dead Man's Peak.
Dead Man's Peak. Is that from the original Peter Pan story, Deborah?
I have no idea. You know what? I'll go look. I'll get back to you on that one.
Just use some magic there to find the answer.
Yeah. Wiki magic? Yeah.
Yeah, that mirror that magical mirror that will tell you all the answers. But I did remember something of a mountain like that, but it could have been another Disney movie. Isn't there the Witch Mountain or something?
Well, there's Bald Mountain on Fantasia.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Right? Yeah. And there's Mount Olympus. There's mountains everywhere.
So this was called Dead Man's Mountain?
Dead Man's Peak. But I don't know if that's part of the lie told by Hook to David, or that's actually the name of the peak.
That's true, because he didn't actually die up there.
No.
Well, he kind of did, but came back to life. So was that the Fountain of Youth?
Yeah, well, that was my question as well.
Because they didn't call it that, but that sounds like maybe why they don't age there, you know?
Yeah, if you listen to the explanation Peter Pan gives, in the, I've made a clip of that, then it really sounds like the Fountain of Youth.
Okay, let's listen to that clip.
We've done business before, and I think this is the perfect time to restart that relationship.
Is this the right one?
No. What if I'm not interested? Okay.
Oh, sorry, what?
It's the compilation one, so with the Fountain of Youth. It's the fifth one.
Oh, the fifth one, okay. Just tell me when I have to play the other one, because sometimes I don't know where a clip is, where it is. So I have to play number five right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
These waters are rich with the power of Neverland. It's what keeps this land and all on it so young. If one was to drink directly from it, its bars could cure any ill.
Thank you.
But I must warn you, all magic comes with a price. And that spring is no exception. Don't leave the island unless you're willing to pay it.
Of course, whatever you want, it's yours. In this canteen is the water that will stop the Dreamshade, that will save your life.
That's why you brought me up here.
Yes.
You knew I wouldn't come on my own, that I wouldn't leave my family.
But you were stubborn, yes, I gathered that rather quickly.
Well, give it to me.
Something you need to know first. Because its power comes from the island, once you drink this water, you can never leave Neverland.
Okay, so yeah, it does sound like the Fountain of Youth, which kind of is from a whole different mythology, but it seems to fit the theme of the island where you never grow old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They must not actually need to drink it to stay young if they're near Neverland, because Hook, I don't think Hook ever drank it, because he was at Neverland for, you know, years, mm-hmm. and then he left, didn't die, and came back.
No, but what I think is that because it's kind of the source of all the spring and everything on Neverland, so the plants and everything that grows there is fed by this water. So if you eat stuff that's grown on Neverland, it will have the same effect. It's only not so powerful because it's not
right
at a source. That's what I gathered from
totally
Pan's explanation.
Could that be why later on Hook will start drinking, etc., because he gets away from Neverland, but there is still this he might still be hooked more or less to the Fountain of Youth stuff, to the
addiction.
Yeah, and then he replaces it with alcohol. I don't know. I'm just guessing. trying to replace one
also,
addiction with another.
We learned that there's some more background, because we don't know what Hook did when he worked for example for Peter Pan. So there's some bad experiences there as well. So. And maybe that's why he started drinking, because of that.
Well, there definitely seems to be the implication that there is more to his story with Peter Pan. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that we will see that next week or you know, in one of the other episodes that's going to take place here in Neverland. By the way, I found in my magical mirror here, I learned that there is actually a huge mountain in the middle of Neverland, but it is called Never Peak Mountain. So it's not Dead Man's Mount. Although Dead Man sounds a lot like something that could be part of the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know,
isn't
Dead
that,
Man's
that,
Dead Man's
course?
Cave. I think there's Dead Man's Cave. Isn't that where they find the skeleton pirates and everything?
Oh, from Pirates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel that this is kind of a, like, they're mixing up the universes and the names, and so they just took
that
Never Peak Mountain.
Be.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter. where are we? I have to look at my notes here.
So they are both climbing, because they first collected extra ropes for the mm-hmm. group to make a net to catch the
yes
the Lost Boy, and then they both go off to find this sextant on top of a peak.
Mm-hmm. That turns out to be a lie.
Yes, and then at one point. Hook is already on top of a platform, mm-hmm. and then he wants to lower a rope to lift up David, but Pan appears.
Oh, yeah. And is that where I play Jingle 3? She's asking. Okay.
We've done business before, and I think this is the perfect time to restart that relationship.
What if I'm not interested?
Of course you are, because that's what I've always liked about you. You're good at surviving.
What do you want me to do?
And be in my employ. Do my dirty work.
What dirty work?
When the time comes, I'll let you know. But first, I need a signal that you've taken my deal.
So my word right now wouldn't be good enough?
You know me. I like action. I'll know you've taken my deal when I see the prince's dead body up on that peak. I want to see your hook inside his body.
And what if I don't take your offer?
Remember the last time you didn't listen to me?
The last time you didn't listen to me, what could he be referring to? Any theories?
Something we haven't seen yet, I think.
Probably.
The last time he didn't listen to him was I thought he meant their very first encounter with him and Liam, or maybe I'm not understanding that right.
That could also be.
Yeah, where he's like, well, can you pay the price? Oh, yeah, sure. Whatever you want.
That must be it.
Yeah.
Is anyone else thinking that Peter Pan is kind of out-rumpling Rumpelstiltskin at this point?
Well, he does. Yes, he does actually remind me a lot of the old Rumpel. It's manipulating, trying to, you know, let people work for him, do evil for him.
They all think he's lying, but he's always telling the truth. That's the funny part.
Yes. And did Peter Pan ever tell him that his brother could not leave the island?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And they still do.
Yeah, it's even so, because just after he and his brother landed on the island, Pan appears, so he asks what they are doing. They show him a picture looking for this plant for healing. And then Pan says, well, this is the deadliest plant on the island. And so he warns him it's not a cure. Hmm. And Liam says, well, he plays mind tricks. So listen to him.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, you'd better listen to Peter Pan. So they get away. Now, of course, since Prince Charming has been healed, and he's very eager to just drink the water and get it over with so he can continue to help Emma find Henry. Now we know that Charming can never leave Neverland.
Yeah.
That is kind of a problem for the rest of the television series. that is going to be quite boring.
Oh, they'll find a way.
Love always finds a way.
I liked that he didn't anguish about it, though. It was like, die or have to stay here.
Yeah.
Say die now or die later. Let's die later.
Right. Good point.
I was wondering if that you cannot leave the island means that you cannot leave the island even with Pan's permission, or that you have to have specific Pan's permission to leave the island.
I don't think
you're more bound to the island than before, or something like that.
As Deborah said, though, that's it's nice because it left us one more question. You know, we've run out of questions, and now that's a question. What's going to happen to Charming? We're not going to know right now, but there's going to be some interesting things. I'm sure there's a way out of it. It's just, you know, once they save Henry and what are they calling them, the Scooby Gang right now? You know, once they do all that, then they can focus on Charming.
Well, I do have one. I mean, the whole episode raised one big question for me, though.
And
with
that
the flashback, you know, showed Liam and Killian there, and Neverland looked like a very nice place to, I mean, it looked very sunny and stuff, and now it looks like something out of your nightmares. It's all, I mean, the sun hasn't come up once, and how long have they been there?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is because magic is dying or something like that. Mm-hmm, this looks very depressing.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe the presence of the Lost Boys, because when we first see Pan on the sunny island of Neverland, he's alone. Mm-hmm. And then now there's Lost Boys. And every one of the Lost Boys has lost hope and is kind of depressed, kind of. So maybe the nature reflects that as well.
I mean, sunrise, of course, would be the biggest symbol of hope possible. And perhaps Neverland will see the sun, but there has to be some way out of this darkness. I hope, at least. I'm hoping for a happy ending for Neverland and for everyone on that island. So again,
I think they already gave a hint of that in the trailer or in the first part of this episode. So if Henry wants something and he closes his eyes and he wants something to happen, it happens.
Oh,
so what is it if he really wants his grandfather to leave the island, to be able to leave the island, because he has the heart of the truest believer. So whatever
that's
he
interesting.
Really wants
yeah.
can happen. So he can just change everything.
That's a great point, actually, because he believes He could, he's like Neo in the Matrix, you know. He can he can change everything. Good point. Which raises another question, and that's still unresolved. You know, who is the savior that everybody keeps talking about? Is it Emma? Is it Henry? Or is it someone else? I keep thinking that they keep raising this question because there's going to be a twist, and it will. I'm thinking, you know, the savior might actually be Rumpel. How cool would that be? If instead of Henry, it's going to be his father. Grandfather.
One of his grandfather.
Oh, it's getting so complicated. Yeah. Well, Rumpel, whoever he is related to Henry. Grandfather.
That would be interesting, wouldn't
Granddad.
It?
I think it would be wonderful. We see him change. I mean, he is definitely no longer the dark one. He's bit by bit converting and letting go. And I mean, I love that. Was that the last episode where you have this conversation between Rumpel and Belle and there is this question, you know, will you actually be able to become a good person, or is evil too strong and will it always come back in your life? And I just feel hope for Rumpel that bit by bit, you know, he has lost hope because he thinks that his son is dead, but now he learns that Bale is actually alive, and so, you know, it might all help him to become good again.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like recovery of addicts. So if you do 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, it means that your net progress is still 1 step.
Yeah.
So that doesn't. So yeah, I like the. It's real realistic, how they portray the recovery, because that's when you want to change something, you just don't change it, because everybody who tries to quit smoking knows.
Same story with Regina, you know. she did actually start to turn to the light, and then, you know, now she seems to be all back to control and only thinking about herself and only staying in her rage and her anger. That's the only thing she has. And so I keep thinking that there will be a way out for her. I've watched the episode with the true love that she was destined to marry. What's his name? Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking, you know, we're gonna see Robin Hood again, and that little kid that is just needs a mom, and I think that Regina could be that mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who is in that other cage?
Oh. I think it's going to be Rumpel.
Rumpel?
I'm thinking Tinkerbell.
Oh.
I don't think so. I think it's someone else.
Someone online said they think it's Rumpel's father.
What?
Oh.
That could be. But yeah.
Be really interesting.
Oh, because of the puppet?
That he didn't desert Rumpel. He got captured. I don't know. Could be.
Interesting.
Ooh, I was thinking it could be Ariel.
No. What is a Ariel needs water. You can't have water in a box like that.
Yeah,
it's not an aquarium.
She's not a fish, so she can breathe. So. But
we haven't even seen her yet.
that's next week. So I mean, it could be a lead-in. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh interesting.
But I think it'll be I don't think it'll be her. I think it'll be somebody. I don't know. I think they're going to surprise us. I want to be surprised. And, you know, I want it to be somebody where we all go, oh, wow.
Yeah, I hope it's not Rumpel. It's like, oh, it's Rumpel. How did he get caught?
Oh, that's right.
He has magic. Why would he be in a box if he has magic and can move everywhere where he wants? So that doesn't make sense. Mm. And I also don't think it's Tinkerbell. But why would she be locked up, because she didn't really help the group, because she was like bailing out because you don't have an exit plan. Well, I'm out. So she didn't really do anything against Pan. So it doesn't make sense for it to be Tinkerbell.
Maybe it's Tiger Lily or Wendy.
Oh.
Or Little John, or what, you know, the kids from Peter Pan.
Or the dog.
Or the dog.
Oh, well, we'll see. Hey, there's one other question. The conversion of Hook from, you know, trusting the king to becoming a pirate. Let's listen to his doubts about the king's intentions.
Well, certainly it doesn't look like medicine.
You choose to believe that boy over our king?
That boy showed us the path to the dream shade. Why would he lie about its nature?
To keep it all for himself. You actually think our king would send us to retrieve something so dangerous?
I would hope not. This is not what I signed up for.
You signed up to listen to your king.
Because I thought he was a man of honor.
He is.
If this is a poison, it won't just end the war, it will obliterate an entire race.
What do you know of any of this? I'm your brother and your captain. You will listen to me.
No. I'll fight my enemies, but I'll fight fair.
Yeah, a great. I really like the story arc here, and it's like from now on, we will be pirates, which means not really, you know, bad pirates, but like independent people. They're pirates because they are they're no longer obeying this evil king, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, wow, they're actually noble pirates. They are honorable pirates.
This sounds like an oxymoron, an honorable pirate.
Yeah, but I like that. I was like, you know what? That makes sense. They will be seen as pirates, not by themselves, but by the king. The king will from now on treat them as enemies and rogue. And so it makes sense that they become pirates, but it's actually pirates for a good cause, at least initially.
Go ahead.
Deborah.
Oh, I was going to say... think about the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. You know, I hate to bring that up, but where, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow kind of puts, I can't even remember his name on Orlando Bloom's character.
Wasn't it Will?
You know, and it says, Will Turner. And he puts him out to sea, basically, like, listen here, you know, there's, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, whether we're good or bad, you know, we are just good, or, you know, we are what we are. And it was kind of like, you know, just because we're pirates, we're not bad people.
Yeah.
In a sense. I'm paraphrasing a lot.
Yeah. But I kind of like that.
It was Captain Jack Sparrow saying, you know, and that was kind of the overriding theme of that, is that even though that Sparrow and Turner were pirates, in a sense, they were still good people.
Right. It kind of redefines what a pirate is. They're just independent, but they're not necessarily bad. However, we do see at the end of this episode that that Hook is drinking, and apparently, you know, from being a good pirate, he actually turned darker. I'm not sure if he became totally evil, because right now he's being quite honorable and doing the right thing, but.
Yeah, last week we discussed in our spoiler part, this the trailer with Hook in it, and I don't know if it was Lisa or Shelley, but they said, well, I hope he's like Han Solo, who also started in the army, and then became a smuggler. So it's really, really like that storyline as well, to put in the obligatory.
Thank you, thank you. I was so relieved to finally hear a Star Wars reference. My goodness, in the nick of time. Excellent. Well, that brings us to the end of our discussion of, I forgot the name of the episode again.
Good form.
Can I point out one more thing?
One more thing. Yeah, sure.
The fact that they were all wearing white when they got to Neverland.
Oh, cool. Yes.
And then at the end, you see them all wearing black, like a change from, you know, I wanted to point out that significance of costume change. Yes.
And it's so much more, you know, it's easier to wash.
Yeah, easier to get dirty.
Yeah. The white stuff, that is. All right, so we are going to listen to the sounds of the trailer for next week. For those of you that don't want to hear anything about next week's episode, thank you for listening. Go over to the blog of this this series, which is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. That's where you can leave your comments if you have any. So it's onceuponatime.sqpn.com. Also, please support our fellow Once Upon a Time podcasters, and there are many of them, but one of the shows has been nominated for the Podcast Awards, which is pretty cool. I think even my show, not this one, but The Break, was nominated for probably the religious category.
That's pretty cool. So anyway, that's this big voting thing that's going on. Starts on November the 1st. And just go to podcastawards.com where you will find all the categories that you can vote in. And we'll make sure that the Once Upon a Time podcast wins. That would be really cool. And well, while you're there, you might as well cast a vote for my podcast, A Break. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, check it out at thebreak.sqpn.com. Okay, enough of all these promos. let's listen to next week's preview.
Name's Ariel.
All new ABC Next Sunday. One of the world's most beloved characters.
When I looked at his face, I knew.
Love at first sight.
Comes to life.
Go to him.
But when Once Upon a Time spins the tale.
I've got a new idea.
Expect the unexpected.
Ursula?
Hello, Ariel.
Once Upon a Time, all new next Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC. And tweet using hashtag Ariel this week if you believe in mermaids.
If you believe in mermaids, use the hashtag. That's an expression of faith now. Just use a hashtag. Wow. Well, Ariel, I'm looking forward to this episode. I'm stoked.
Was it me or is Ursula the same person as the Evil Queen?
I don't know.
It looked like her to me, but with blonde hair.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Which is what we kind of speculated, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love the music in the background. It did sound like what's that iconic song? Look at this.
No.
Look at the stuff. Isn't it neat?
Yeah. Don't you think my collection's complete? Blah 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 blah. I've got gadgets and widgets and whatnots, and who's it and what's its galore? Blah 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 blah. Oh well. This is not a singing podcast.
Part of your world.
Yeah, a part of your world. Excellent.
Yes.
So, this has been a long wait. I think we've been speculating about Ariel and about the Little Mermaid ever since the first season, right? Ever since we saw that store in Storybrooke, the fish store. It was like, oh, how cool would it be if she would be working there? But she's not, at least I don't think so. When will we go back to Storybrooke, actually? I miss that town.
Yeah, I miss the dwarves.
I miss the rain, the gloomy weather.
Well, if you have gloomy weather in Neverland.
There was a kind of a teaser trailer in the summer with Ariel and Grumpy in the harbor of Storybrooke.
Oh.
So maybe
cool.
She's not even in Neverland.
I don't mind them being in Neverland, but I'm getting a little bit fed up with all the darkness, and it's only the forest, and it's always dark, like you say. And it was actually quite a relief to see the flashback where they arrive in Neverland, and this seems to be filmed for real. You know, I don't think the background was fake. It did look like mountains and a real shoreline. Anyway, but I'm starting to long for a little bit of sunlight and a bit of hope. I don't know. Did they say anything about how long we're going to stay in Neverland? Not the entire season, I hope.
I think it's supposed to be like a half a season. They're going to make the, you know, up through like December, January is one story arc, and then the spring is one.
But yeah, the winter break.
But I think that's what I read.
Excellent. All right, we'll see. I think we need to wrap things up because we've been occupying the time of our listeners for too long now. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time. We will be back next week. So glad we don't have these interruptions anymore like last year. With another episode of Once Upon a Time, the story of Ariel, the Little Mermaid. Hope you join us again next week as well. Take care.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.